Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hi, John Schwab here from Curtain Call, and welcome to episode 100 of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, the podcast that brings you backstage as close as you possibly can be, often while the shows are actually happening, to meet the people that make theater happen. You can find all our episodes on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other fine podcast streaming services. And if you have a spare 30 seconds, please rate and review the podcast on whatever platform you use to help us be more discoverable to listeners who haven't heard about us yet. And now for this week's podcast. I know, I promised a special podcast with me and Curtain Call co-founder Matt Humphrey for the 100th episode, but we have been extremely busy over the last few weeks here at Curtain Call, not least covering another show for NT Live and another show we previously covered, and that stuff's going to be coming out soon. I can't tell you about it because it's all under wraps, and that content's going to be coming out soon, and, you know, we'll just have to get that podcast done and bring it to you as soon as Matt and I can have a chance to sit down together for an hour and chit chat about what we've been up to here at Curtain Call, and we have been up to a lot. So what to do this week? Well, okay, to commemorate the final week of what has been a tremendous run, I thought I would bring you the rest of the company of King Lear that we didn't get to hear from in episode 97. Their run has been a sold-out success, and I can honestly say it has truly been one of the highlights of my theater outings this year. I managed to grab pretty much all the rest of the guys and chat to them, or chat to most of them, I should say, in the interval, about what it was like having nearly half of the cast join them in the West End from Chichester Festival Theater's transfer of Jonathan Mumby's production of Lear. It's always an interesting topic to chat about, people coming into a cast or into a company and having to adapt. And I think that this casting company gelled extremely quickly, and it sounds like they have had a blast. Have a listen.
Yeah, I'm Michael Matus. I'm playing Oswald.
Awesome.
I'm James Corrigan. I'm playing Edmund.
Nice. Richard Clues playing gentleman, informer, and old man.
Oh, that's
I know, at my age.
Bad casting.
And Anthony Howe playing Albany.
Excellent. And were you... is there a split of new and people from Chichester that as well?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Two newbies and okay. Two originals.
Okay, so
in the room.
That's great. I suppose it's about a 50-50 split of people coming
almost,
in. So
yeah.
So having to come into an already set-ish production and then knowing it was going on and the expectations that were coming with that production, because this production's been... We've been waiting for it, you know, in London. So how was it in the rehearsal room, and just kind of how did that happen with the new cast and the established cast?
Well, myself and Anthony are two of the newbies.
Yeah.
Which didn't feel too sort of intimidating or anything because there were so many... Because there were so many newbies as allies.
Yeah. And there wasn't a clique, was it?
No.
God, not at all.
And it was dotted around different characters and stuff like that. Right. So, for instance, myself and Edgar are new, whilst our dad Gloucester is an OG. So it was kind of a perfect mix in my mind.
Yeah, and Claire Price, who plays Goneril, Albany's wife, was a newbie as well. So that was lovely. So we had... a fresh start to kind of work on the relationship and and how how we thought it would fit into the play.
Yeah.
You do notice moments where people go, and they want to say, well, he did it like this. but people were, very, very...
You mean in the blocking?
Yeah.
You should stand over there.
You should stand downstage.
Try standing over there or sitting there. That's really good.
But by and large, I think you could tell that people were quite excited by a new injection of something.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. For us, it was like doing a new production, actually. Yeah.
Didn't feel like... Chichester seemed like far enough away for us to be starting all over again.
Yeah. Mm.
I can't quite imagine they were with these guys having 3 weeks, was it, to kind of get their heads around it all, where we had three a good six, you know, back in Chichester. So that would have been hard. I would have found that very hard, trying to figure out Edgar in 3 weeks.
That's
quite impressive.
Yeah.
And I mean, there were certain givens, like, you know, the set that we brought over from Chichester, but we did have 3.5 weeks, and when we were such a friendly, happy company in Chichester, so I don't think we had any qualms about new people coming in.
We
embraced them with open arms, and it was good to get that new input, that new energy. And even though it is a remounting of an old show, it is quite different. In many ways.
Well, everybody who's been brought into the show hasn't been brought in because they're similar to the people who they replaced. They've been brought in with a whole new energy and a whole new personality, and so they've completely changed the colour of the show, which is great.
Hi, I'm John Hastings. I'm playing Curran and Doctor.
Right. I'm John Vernon. I'm ensemble and understudy.
Hi, I'm Scott Sparrow, and I'm playing Albany's man and understudy.
Hello, I'm James Millard. I'm ensemble and I'm also understudy.
Hi, my name's Caleb Roberts and I'm playing the King of France.
Jake Mann, I'm playing Burgundy and Leah in Cordelia's Knight.
Ah, Cordelia's Knight. So King of France, Cordelia's Knight show up, then they piss off for the rest of the play. No, that's fine. Guys, if I can just ask about... first of all, you guys, did you come from the Chichester Theatre? Were you there, or is there a mix of people who have?
It's like a half-half.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Me, Caleb, and John Hastings did the Chichester one.
Okay. So that's quite interesting, because if you've got an established cast, and then you have 50% of a new cast, you've got to... Is it quickly become a company, or did you get time to gel, or was it just straight into first day of rehearsal, let's crack on? Or?
I think there were enough new people that it was kind of like a new start to a certain extent. Yeah, like to us as newcomers, that, you know, there's enough of that kind of
we
getting to know you kind of thing on the first day.
We were excited. It was like, because we obviously coming back to it, we wanted it to be new and fresh anyway, and having 50% pretty much new.
That was
really,
nice.
We were really interested to see what everyone was like and how they were going to approach it. And we treated it. We pretty much went back to square one and just went through it again.
Yeah, it's very much like just approaching a fresh new play again.
Yeah,
because a lot of it's different now from what it was like in Chichester. Yeah. There's been a lot of stuff that's added. And the scenes are completely different, and
you guys definitely made it better, is what they're saying.
Yeah, it's a better show.
Well, I've played the Chichester Festival Theatre, and it's completely different. I mean, this is a you know, it's going out and it's open and it's thrust, and you know, you're
and this was in the Minerva as well.
It was in the smallest thing, so even then, it's completely different as well. Was it something to think about again? Because each house is its own character. You can play the same play in two different theaters, and it can die in one and thrive in another. So,
I think a lot of us were really interested to see how it would play out, because it was such a different space. But then with Jonathan and Paul, their new design, and the thrust, there's a big ramp in the middle, and they took out like 10 of the seats at the back, so it kind of made it more intimate, and it kind of it does feel like a bigger show, but it's hopefully like held that intimacy, which is quite nice.
Because
in the Minerva you could just speak at this level and everyone pretty much would hear you. So it's a bit bigger here.
No, but this, I think that it's really the way that the set has been brought in, the design of the theatre, with the platform running through the theatre, it feels like there's a real wonderful movement, and it's also quite easy to hear. It's beautifully designed theatre,
it's quite small for a West End theatre. It's only like 600 or something. Normally they're claiming with like 900 seats.
Yeah.
It's only about 450 now.
Yeah,
so
it's a reduction. That's a great thing.
Yeah.
To be able to.
You can definitely feel the audience. Yeah. Like you're playing the gods or something.
Yeah. In regards to kind of putting it in the space, I mean, again, it feels like there's a lot of movement. There's a lot of kind of choreography that goes on. But I would imagine behind the scenes as well, because you guys come on from all over the place.
It's like Necrosil was meant,
was it?
Because there's the whole company does the scene changes. Yeah. So that choreography in itself was a rehearsal process, just working out how people were going to fit past each other with props and bits of set and do it in time to the music. And yeah, that was all kind of a big, big
some
learning.
Sections where there's a lot of stuff to bring on and off.
Yeah, yeah.
The big dining table, you know, that with the knights and the oystering, that getting all that stuff off, that was hours, because you'd get about another foot and then you'd bump into another person and go, hang on, stop.
Yeah.
And try to go back and then, you know, it's kind of like...
Are you guys...
At one point, it sort of felt like that may never end.
The dress rehearsal... It wasn't quite right, and so we had to stop, and it was really difficult. We've got it regimented now, but it's still.
And you don't get the, you know, that's one of the joys, but also the challenges of being in a Victorian theatre is you don't have that much room in the wings, which is different to that generation that perhaps Chichester started of purpose built sort of, you know, municipal theatres that led to national and all that sort of stuff. Where you've got all that,
which is a football pitch behind.
Absolutely. Here is a lot of, you know, jiggery pokery going on to get everything on. But we do it.
Jiggery pokery.
Is that not
a that's a British term.
Very good term.
After chatting to the lads there, I managed to squeeze in a quick 5 minutes with the other two female cast members that weren't playing Lear's daughters or Kent. What I love about going in and chatting to company members about is that our discussions often veer off course and take a path of their own choosing, which is kind of what happens here. And I wanted to chat to the girls about coming into the cast, like I did with the boys, but then we went on to talk about Tech Week and what their girls' track was like backstage. And yes, even Ian McKellen planking. You heard that correctly. Have a listen.
I'm Jessica Moraine. I am in the ensemble. I do a mixture of bits from warring, kind of serving household of Goneril and Regan, and I'm understudying Cordelia and Regan.
Perfect. I'm Joanne Murdoch. I am also ensemble, doing very similar things to Jess, actually, although, you know, that's good. And I'm understudying Kent and Goneril.
So were you guys part of the Chichester lineup, or did you come in for the West End?
Yeah, no, we're newbies.
Okay, so yeah, that's what they were calling, newbies. Okay.
Newbies.
We don't call them old bees.
Right, that would be weird.
Old bees would be weird.
Old bees.
Newbies.
Old bees.
Okay, so joining the company, like, was it just, how did that kind of feel on day one? Because we kind of split down the middle. The boys said, I just talked to the guys upstairs, and they said it was quite fun to see the new group guys coming in. It kind of felt fresh and felt a bit bubbly or whatever.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, it was kind of. Yeah, it's a bit mad, really.
I kind of liked. I enjoyed it because there wasn't. I think it's different if you join a process and you're the only new person. But there was lots of people joining, and it felt quite exciting that, you know, there was a few of us new to. Process.
Yeah, I think it's quite. I've never kind of joined a company from like one person or coming in something that's already been established, so I wouldn't know. But, I think we've seen a few casts, and, you know, on our journey with Protocol, where it's unlike any other business, where like day one, like you're kind of, it's like, come on in, let's play. And because it's quite a physical show, there's lots of movement. Was it at the beginning? Was it really like the kind of learning, or just jumping straight in and getting into the, you know, movement, as it were, of the piece? Because it does keep moving, and you guys move all the time.
Yeah, I remembered when we were doing. We had to kind of do a bit of training for war. Do you remember when we went into that upstairs studio in Gerbert's place? And we were kind of jumping around and, you know, following each other and doing this sort of bizarre boot camp type of situation. It was just brilliant because Ian was doing that with us, and I remember him planking in between us two and looking at him going, well, I better keep going because if he's doing it, I better keep and Jess was doing it. It was quite funny.
Yeah,
that was early on, wasn't it?
Yeah,
was it
like the movement stuff was really fun. War in particular. Like, I've worked with Lucy Cullingford in the past, and she's brilliant in terms of embodying like anything. You know, there was no kind of we had to move quite fast. It was a short rehearsal period, so it was just like just everyone sort of threw themselves into it. Like, but having actual like martial training, we had his name. We had
Simon?
A guy, Sean, I think.
Simon Sean Steve came
in and like whipped us into shape.
Nice.
That was just hysterical.
That was quite funny.
Boot camp, yeah. Nice. As soon as any kind of authority, I just start to be like, just, you know, stupid. But actually, yeah, it was
proper.
It was very detailed
formation. That was quite a funny day, wasn't it? And everyone kind of getting it wrong a bit, and then. And you always have to turn over your left shoulder and you always have to do that move.
Yeah, the specificity of it was quite interesting. It's those things as well, I know if I'm in the audience, if you don't have any kind of anything, if there's even so much of like a lack of specificity with that stuff, it kind of doesn't work.
Yeah,
I think it's detail is always important.
Yeah, definitely.
Absolutely.
Otherwise it's all a bit non.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it was fun. She was fun.
Brilliant. And... just to, I want to kind of talk about. So when I came to see it, we came to see it last week, and I thought, and I said to Matt, I was like, "Oh, it's kind of small cast. It'll be, you know, it'll be fine. We'll see them. I'll be able to get around to everybody." But then I come back, and there's loads of you, and you forget that there's. It's because of the movie, because the changes, the scene changes, are actually almost productions in themselves. And the boys were talking about Tech Week being a nightmare.
So, Tech Saturday, God, jeez. Yeah. Tables and chairs and goodness knows whatever else. Yeah, let's take along.
So can you just explain a little bit your track? Like we're talking about, because there, what you've done in this theatre, anyone who's come to the Duke of York's will not recognise it, like, because you guys enter from different places that aren't entrances, and the audience is split. The stalls are split down the middle with a...
Yeah, big old runway down the middle. And yeah, it's being used quite differently, isn't it? You know, they've cut down the theatre quite a bit. I think they've taken about half a dozen, maybe eight rows off the back.
Really?
And three or four off the front as well, to kind of try and bring the stage more into the auditorium and kind of feel more included. They've closed the gods, you know, all that sort of thing. So it was quite full-on, wasn't it?
Can you feel the difference, do you think? You know, in the way that the house is set up? Every theatre...
Yeah.
It plays differently.
Yeah.
You know, in a show, you know, you can have a show that's a hit in one city and goes to the next and it falls flat because of the space.
True.
Yeah.
I always feel like with this space and with this production, what's been created is this filmic feeling. Like, that's how I see it. There's even with the sound, there's a lot of push and pull and, like, whooshes. So there's a sense of, like, go.
Yeah.
And then on and off and push and pull. I guess what I mean is with the doors as well and the way the design works, it does feel like everything's in frames. That's at least how it feels when you're in it. It's it's kind of like
that's
a stylish
film. That makes sense. No, it totally makes sense.
Yeah, it feels like it. And when the NT Live guys came and they did their first rehearsal, they're like really pleased with it straight away because they're like, wow, we've got 75, I think, or 80% of it right already. But when you're looking at it on the monitors, you're going, he directed it pretty filmically, I think. And it looks really cool. Jonathan Mumbo. Marvellous.
He's fine.
He knows what he's doing.
Mumbo's not going to care. never met him. What's it like? I know exactly. Story of my life.
The company of King Lear there, which is just about to wrap up its run at the Duke of York's Theatre here in London. Stand by tickets. I'm sure they're, you know, if they're returns, do it if you can. But if you haven't seen it, it's okay. There are other NT Live performances happening now. NT Live Encore at local cinemas. So do please check your local listings. Give yourself a treat. If you are a theater professional, head on over to curtaincallonline.com and sign up for a free profile page. All you have to do is create an account with an email address.
make up a cool password, away you go. You can start applying for jobs. That's right. We list jobs now on our site, and they're there, free to apply for. You can follow us on all the socials, Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, at Curtain Call. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any suggestions or feedback for the podcast, get in touch with us via any of the social media platforms I just mentioned, or write to me at john@curtaincallonline.com. It just leaves me to say a huge thank you to Joanne Murdoch, Jessica Moraine, Michael Matus, James Corrigan, Richard Clues, Anthony Howell, John Hastings, John Vernon, Scott Sparrow, James Millard, Caleb Roberts, and Jake Mann. One breath. Again, it was such a warm welcome that we received, and I would like to wish the company, everyone at Curtain Call wishes the company the best in their next endeavors, and would like to congratulate them for such an outstanding production. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of the Curtain Call Theater Podcast, and I will catch you all next week. Bye.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.